Hello and welcome to my electronic poster presentation. This presentation will explore the links between high fidelity simulation and clinical skills teaching and its impact on student engagement from a facilitator's perspective. As a clinical skills specialist, I facilitate clinical skills education for undergraduate nursing students. The predominant form of delivery I employ for skills teaching is through simulation, whereby clinical skills are replicated in a safe learning environment that recreates a learner's experiences from clinical placements. This is presently achieved in my teaching practice through low to medium fidelity technologies, such as injection trainers and non-interactive mannequins, which allow for the learning of simple role play and standalone procedural skills. However, this contemporary style of teaching is continuously evolving within nurse education as a result of the advancing capabilities of the technologies and the higher levels of fidelity they can offer. Funds have become available all within the School of Nursing to purchase innovative and technologically advanced skills equipment, including state-of-the-art mannequin simulators, programmed with high-fidelity scenarios and physiological responses, which interact with learners and respond accordingly to the interventions made by learners when treating them. These high-fidelity technologies are to be introduced within my teaching within the next 3 months, fueling a desire to explore how the increased level of fidelity in my skills teaching might impact on student engagement and what strategies I may need to develop in order to enhance the learning experience for students. In exploring the literature relating to my chosen contemporary topic and study, I utilise CINAHL, a widely respected nursing literature database. By narrowing my search to identify literature relating to nurse education from only 2010 onwards, I was able to examine the most recent evidence specific to nurse education, whilst ensuring that recent advances in the technologies and their relevance were captured. Utilising the key terms of my study within the literature search, as highlighted in red, allowed me to define their meaning and explore their context within the student's learning experience. The literature identified high-fidelity simulation as an effective learning method, particularly in the latter stages of nurse education programmes, as it supports skills such as assessment of the deteriorating patient, where prior learning of individual body systems are incorporated into one assessment process. The place of lower levels of fidelity in the earlier stages of pre-registration nursing programmes was viewed as meaningful and purposeful. However, learners claim that simplicity and minimal interactional capabilities of the lower fidelity technologies creates a lack of realism, impacting on their engagement and prohibiting the contextualisation of their learning. The literature revealed that theoretically, high fidelity technologies should increase the authenticity and realism of the simulation, therefore allowing the learner to fully immerse themselves in the learning experience. Whilst this was demonstrated to be true for many learners, it repeatedly identified that despite the capabilities and realism of the simulation equipment, some learners are still resistant to engage in learning through high-fidelity simulation. Whilst much of the literature documented the place and purpose of learning through high-fidelity simulation, the majority of perspectives on its impact on student engagement were from those of the learner, and there was little evidence exploring the role of the facilitator. Moving on to my methodology, I chose to utilise an interpretivist approach to the methodology for my study, as this allowed for the multiple interpretations of the participants' understanding of high fidelity simulation and its impact on student engagement to be fully explored. The very nature of the data that needed to be collected and analysed lent itself well to a qualitative study. In comparison, a quantitative study would not have captured the multiple meanings of the phenomenon being explored. My chosen qualitative interpretive approach to my methodology assisted me to avoid the assumption that my views of the phenomenon being analysed are reality, based on my previous experiences of teaching clinical skills through low to medium fidelities. Instead, my approach allowed me to explore how participants conceptualise their meanings, the meanings they apply to the impact of high fidelity simulation on student engagement. By examining the phenomenon from a facilitator's perspective, I could identify how to move my practice forward and develop strategies to support the learning experience for students through the emerging themes and concepts of the study. Because of the limited literature from a facilitator's perspective, I was aware that my study was at most likely only to clarify any pre-existing concepts within the literature, yet possibly generate new theories and ideologies for further exploration due to the inductive nature of my chosen methodology. My sample was a purposive one where participants were selected because of their pre-identified experiences of facilitating clinical skills through high fidelity simulation within the same university as myself, but as an alternative site to my own. This meant I could exclude those facilitators who may have experiences through lower fidelities and therefore be unable to provide the raw data I required to conduct the study. I invited all 10 facilitators at the alternative site to participate in the study, of which 9 replied and consented to participate. Ethical approval was sought and a research proposal submitted. I designed semi-structured interviews to collect the raw data, which were audio recorded with the participants' consent. The 12 open-ended questions were designed to capture rich qualitative data and allow me to probe the participants' responses as the interviews were being conducted, increasing validity of the study. For example, should the participant make a pertinent comment, I was then able to question them further to ensure I had fully understood the meaning of their response and to provide the participant with the opportunity to expand their response, maximising raw data collection. The recording of the interviews enabled me to repeatedly examine the raw data for its multiple meanings and assisted me in transcribing the data when analysing it. 5 out of the 9 participants were available for face-to-face interviews. Therefore, the remaining 4 unavailable participants were offered questionnaires via email and consisting of the same questions as the interviews. This layering approach maximised valuable raw data collection whilst increasing rigour within my methodology. Looking at data analysis, the framework analysis I utilised within the data analysis again added rigour to the study and is widely recognised as an effective approach to analysing qualitative data. The raw data from the interviews and questionnaires were repeatedly examined to open up the data and seek categories until data saturation occurred and no new categories could be found. I then progressed to grouping these categories into themes by looking for similarities within them. Finally, the emerging themes were compared and contrasted, allowing for interrelations and concepts to emerge. Shown in the speech bubble are some of the direct responses from participants when answering how they measure student engagement in high fidelity skills teaching. Moving on to results and emerging themes. From the data analysis, 3 key themes emerged. Firstly, the practicalities of the high fidelity simulation were reported by all participants to be significant and heavily influenced how often the technology could be utilised, therefore impacting on student engagement and the learning experience for students. The technology is without doubt costly in comparison to lower fidelity equipment. Facilitators require training in its use, allowing them to not only perform basic functions, but to also maximise the capabilities of the equipment and to create programmes specific to the learning outcomes in the module. Considerable investment in the valuable time of facilitators is required, ensuring staff are competent in its use and that there are adequate numbers trained to meet the needs of both the learners and the module. The second theme to emerge showed that facilitators perceived that the technology led to an increase in student engagement, directly having a positive effect on the learning experience for students. The high level of fidelity meant that students had to actively participate in the skills session in order to achieve the learning outcomes. This active participation developed into reportedly high levels of engagement, where students had greater autonomy over the nature and direction of their learning. The students' interaction with the responsive mannequins was found to make their learning more student-focused. In addition, learners were introduced to peer-assisted learning and benefited from working as a team, a concept they are becoming increasingly familiar with in their clinical placements. Thirdly, participants reported that their traditional role as a teacher had changed and emerged into a facilitator of learning. Because of the interactive capabilities of the technologies, their teaching had become less didactic, and instead their approach had become more guiding and providing of opportunities for students to actively construct meaning to their learning experiences. This had led many participants to examine their role and the impact they have on student engagement and the learning experience. The technology allowed for participants to academically challenge those students who demonstrated confidence and were already actively engaging in their learning, whilst identifying those learners who are resistant to engage with both the equipment and peer-assisted learning. Whilst the technology and its capabilities were reported to lend itself well for some of those students who were resistant to engage, some of the participants concluded that further explanation was needed on how to engage those learners resistant to interact, as this ultimately had a negative impact on their learning experience. Moving on to limitations of the study and ethical considerations. Because of my pre-existing experiences of teaching clinical skills, I was aware of what impact this may hold during both the data collection process and data analysis. I attempted to bracket my own assumptions and consciously tried not to influence participants' responses with my own views. The lack of anonymity through purpose of sampling may also have influenced a participant's responses during the data collection process due to my working relationship with them, therefore challenging the validity of the study. The inclusion criteria for the sample and its size have previously been highlighted, and I'm aware that the emerging data may have produced broader results and had more participants been available and the sample size larger. In addition, had the study been larger and greater time available, I would have been able to also capture the learner's perspective, therefore strengthening the validity of the study's findings. Because the data was collected and analysed only by myself, the same results may not be replicated through a test retest, therefore challenging the reliability of the study. Additionally, had I repeated the interviews with the same participants, I may have probed for alternative meanings to their open-ended responses. Validity and reliability can be challenging to establish in qualitative studies, and many researchers instead demonstrate rigour of their study through the accuracy and credibility of their findings. This could be achieved in my study through a population test or by allowing participants to view the findings to establish if they agree with the interpretation of the data. Finally, looking at critical reflection and implications for practice. I firstly examined what have I learned from my study. The literature already recognises that the teaching of clinical skills through high-fidelity simulation is an effective way to integrate cross-curricular themes of skills acquisition and patient safety, and this was supported in my study. My study demonstrated to me the significance of learning through high-fidelity simulation and how the capabilities of the equipment can actively enhance student engagement and support both self-directed and peer-assisted learning for students. The findings of the study have led me to critically reflect upon my current teaching practice and identify what implications there are for my future practice. As previously discussed, I can utilise the advancing capabilities of the technology to further challenge those who are actively engaging in their learning by creating simulations that will expand the boundaries of their learning. In addition, my teaching style will need to evolve further away from a traditional didactic, teacher-led approach and more towards a student-focused and self-directed learning approach, whereby I support those learners who are resistant to engage with the technology and or peer-assisted learning. The advanced capabilities of the equipment will assist me to ensure that learning opportunities are diverse and equal for all. For example, my fellow facilitators and I could record simulated teaching scenarios to engage those learners who are resistant and possibly lack confidence, and share these learning scenarios on social media posting platforms and the university learning platforms. This is a method I'm not presently familiar with or required to undertake in my current role. However, my learning from my studying has highlighted to me the varying strategies I can employ and develop to further progress my teaching practice and engage students. I recognise that my findings have highlighted concepts of further study, such as examining the learner's perspective so that I can gain a comprehensive understanding of the learner's experience and also the implications for both my teaching practice and the wider context of pre-registration nursing education. Thank you for your time, and I hope you enjoyed my poster presentation.